Starting in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in Ephesians chapter 1, now verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Somebody say all. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that after you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Praise God. Now, I'm going to warn you guys, I'm very excited about some of the things that the Lord pointed out to me in these verses. The last couple of weeks is so amazing. So, but before we go any further, I want us to look at some of the things that the Apostle Paul tells us accompanies salvation. Here in these first few verses of chapter 1, he points out several things that we get in this relationship with God through Jesus. Let's see. I'm going to point out some of them for us for the sake of the recording. Let's see. Things like grace, right, in verses 2 and verse 7 and verse 6, actually. He talks about peace in verse 2, spiritual blessings in verse 3, holiness in verse 4, innocence in verse 4, when he said that we would be holy and without blame before him, praise God. We see that we become a part of a family in verses 5 and verse 6. We are accepted. He tells us that in verse 7. In love, we have love there in verse 4. Forgiveness, verse 7. Inheritance, we receive an inheritance. Paul describes that in verse 11. We are the praise of God's glory. Hallelujah. In verses 12 and 14. He bestows upon us truth. We have access to truth in verse 13. And we just have, just in general terms, promise there in verse 13. The Apostle Paul outlines all of these things. And I don't know if anyone else is excited about any of those things, but these are things that we obtain through salvation. Praise God. So in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, we all know, those of us who are here, that spiritual blessings are different from material blessings. Amen? Amen. But we know that he covered material blessings as well, okay? Praise God. And I definitely don't want anyone to mishear me on this point, because material blessings are very important. He's covered that, absolutely. But just for the sake of our conversation on tonight, we're honing in on spiritual blessings. So hear me. Sometimes people, just good people, just, you know, they love Jesus with all their heart. They're believers, right? But they're hustling and bustling for material things, thinking that those material things are going to satisfy them, right? They think that those things are going to bring some type of satisfaction, some type of fulfillment, right? But we can only get that joy that our hearts are longing for truly from the spiritual blessings that the Lord has already given us. Okay, so please hear, I'm going to say it again for the people on the tape. I am not, devaluing material blessings or God providing those things that we have need of. Absolutely not. But when you get into a mindset that you have to do this to get this latest, greatest thing, you have to hustle and bustle and miss time with your family and get mad at your kids because you had to work 15 hours so that you could have the boat down on the lake. Something is not right. Something is going wrong. Amen. So we cannot expect to get fulfillment that we are really, truly desiring from material things. I believe that's really, really, truly what I want to say. And even though they are hustling and bustling for those things, they're still walking around without any joy, without any fulfillment. They're tired, they're exhausted, disillusioned many times. And why is that? When Jesus says that he has given us all spiritual blessings, when the Apostle Paul says in Christ we have all spiritual blessings, but some of us as believers are still walking around without the joy, without the fulfillment. Joyce Meyer, in her book, her Bible study on the book of Ephesians, she asked a great question. She asked, have we possessed our possession? Have we possessed our possession? What does this mean? What does this mean? I believe it means, have we taken claim of the promise? Right? Have we received them to ourselves? Yes, the word says that this has been provided, but have we taken hold of those things for ourselves? Is anyone following me tonight? So how do you receive these things? How do you think we receive them if for those of us who may be wondering, if I'm walking around and I have not taken hold of it, how do I receive it? How do you receive it? How do we receive the things of the Spirit? Yes, we ask, we receive them by faith, right? We believe God by faith that they are ours, right? We lay hold of them by faith. And I know that I've used this illustration in previous Bible studies, and I think that it is a great one again for this one. And that is, if someone writes you a check for $1 million, right? I walk up to you and I hand you that check and you look and you see all those zeros. You can run around the church, right? Fall out in the floor, roll around in the floor, get up and high five all the people on your pew. But have you possessed the $1 million yet? You're shouting and being excited about the fact that somebody gave you the check, but you still need to take the check to the bank. You still need to sign the back of the, you need to deposit the check into your in order to take possession of it. Am I making sense?
Yeah, that's good sense.
Am I making sense? Okay. Have we really possessed? Have we really taken hold? The money is sitting there waiting to be transferred. Mm-hmm. Right? 1 month passes by, 2 months passes by, and the person who wrote you the check, why haven't they deposited the check yet? I know they know that I'm good for it. Right? They're not expecting this to be a bounce check. They know I'm good for it. Why haven't they deposited that check? So they start calling you and texting you, asking you, why haven't you deposited the check, Sister Bobby? Why haven't you deposited the check? Now, Father God has given us all of these spiritual blessings in his Son over 2,000 years ago. Right? Over 2,000 years ago, and some of us are still walking around shouting about the check. Got the check in the plaque on the wall. Carrying the check around, but we haven't taken possession of it. Instead, many of us are tormented by anxiety and fear and depression and insecurity and unforgiveness. And if they only knew, the check has already been written to cover all of that. Praise God. And I think another good example, you know, is the key to your house. When you sat down, you know, for those of you who are renters, or those when you went to the realtor and you negotiated the price and all of that, and you signed all the paperwork, they handed you keys, yes. Right? They gave you keys. And this means this is your house. Mm-hmm. You have access, unhindered access. You can come and go as you please, right? You can go into any room you want. You can move the furniture around any way you want. You can plant as many roses in the front yard, Mother Pat, as you want, because it's your house. But what would happen if the landlord, if you're leasing, or if the realtor, if you're buying, gave you the keys, but you never go and lock the door? You never move your stuff into the house. It's just sitting there waiting for you to occupy it. Am I making sense? If we have the keys, but we never possess the house, what good is having the key if we're never going to use it? If we're never going to use these spiritual blessings that God has given us in Jesus, what good are they? What good are they?
No good.
They're no good. We just walk around in torment, walk around sad, defeated, because we haven't taken possession of the things that he has promised us by faith. Praise God. So remember, I keep underscoring that by faith, because we cannot work it up ourselves. We cannot do it ourselves. It has to be by faith. Amen. Hallelujah. We receive them by faith. Yes, ma'am.
I think some of that is that some don't feel worthy.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And, you know, it's terrible when they're in that form, because they're anxious, they're in misery.
Yep.
Because it's all there. All they have to do is reach out and take it.
Mm-hmm.
But then they pull back and say, oh, should I do that? Did I really deserve it?
Right.
Did I, you know, and that's an enemy coming in to try to defeat you.
Yep.
And they have to get over that to be able to receive that.
Yes. Yes, those feelings of unworthiness, those feelings of, is this really for me? What about all the bad stuff that I've done? Oh, if you only knew what I did last night, this would not apply to me. Absolutely, those things can really, truly hinder a person from receiving. And I'm so glad that you said that, Sister Linda, because we're tracking. Amen, we are tracking with what God is going to say here in just a little bit. Praise God. So by faith, it's not ourselves. And I think that even speaks to what you brought up, Sister Linda, because when we have that in the forefront of our mind, what I did to not deserve it, am I worthy, that still is placing you here. You know, you're still thinking it has something to do with your performance or non-performance. And God's like, no. It has nothing to do with any of that. I have decided to do this. I choose to bestow this upon you. But yet and still, it varies very true, Sister Linda. It is a very difficult thing to be broken in some people's minds, absolutely. But let's go back to verse 4. Let's go back to verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Now, I felt led to emphasize some things here in this in these verses, and that is the fact that God chose us. God chose us. And it made me remember, I had a flashback of being in the sixth grade on the playground, and you know how the teacher, I'm dating myself. The teacher would say, she would pick two students as captains, and she would say, okay, now you guys go and pick your team. You're playing kickball or you're playing softball or something. And if you remember doing that at all, you get down to the last two or three kids, and it seemed like they were just so sad because they were being chosen last, right? It was like the worst nightmare if you were the last kid to be picked for the team. Maybe I'm just the only one. Maybe the athletes out here in the audience, maybe you guys were always picked first, but those of us who were the last two or three kids waiting for them to be picked, it's like, goodness gracious. And you could always tell because the faces would look just so sad. But feeling like that, right, feeling like you were being rejected is not a good feeling. That's the point I want to make. And I said it that way intentionally because that person, when you're sitting there trying to wait to be selected, you're not thinking like the team captain. The team captain is thinking, I want to win. So I'm going to put people on my team that I know can kick the ball and run, right? But that person that's sitting on the sidelines waiting to be chosen, they're thinking there's something wrong with them. They're thinking there must be something wrong with me. I must be, you know, deficit, you know, have a deficit somehow. And I think a lot of times, a lot of people are dealing with inner turmoil to the magnitude. They're still carrying around stuff, right? And if they come across anyone that gives off any semblance of what they've gone through, it's like they just go right back to that moment of being on the blacktop, being rejected to be on the team. It has nothing to do with that person that's standing in front of them. It has everything to do with what's going on the inside of them, because all those emotions and all those feelings come rushing back, right? All of those emotions when you feel your friend betrayed you. You know, you thought you got over it, but the next time the new friend says something even similar to what the old friend say, oh, wait a minute. The new friend had nothing to do with that, right? if Bishop ever said anything similar to the old pastor that you just, oh, wait a minute, no, this is something totally new. But when we don't get healed, when we don't get set free, it comes rushing back. Amen. It comes rushing back. And so sometimes people are experiencing this torment, this torture within themselves, and they think God is rejecting them when things aren't going the way they think they're supposed to go. Has anybody been there before? You think, by now, God, I would have had the breakthrough. But when you sit over in the corner and you look at everybody else, that's, well, you know, we talked about that before, looking at everybody else. And it seems like they are progressing and it looks like they are moving forward. What about me? And so then we begin to entertain thoughts that God has forgotten me. God is rejecting me. No. No. He tells us here in Ephesians, I chose you from the beginning. I've adopted you. And if we could just possess our possession, use the keys we've been given, cash that check, make the deposit of those spiritual blessings in our hearts. Allow our hearts to be convinced of what the word is saying about us. Get our eyes off of other people. Oh my God. Be convinced of the truth of God's love, his protection, and his promise in our lives. And I believe the more that we allow that truth of the word to wash over us, it has to be intentional. It has to be intentional, especially when you're looking out and you're seeing the exact opposite of what you thought the promise was. Intentionally putting yourself in the word, intentionally saying, God, I know what you said to me. I'm hanging on to your word in this regard, God. And the more we do that, our hearts will be convinced that we are accepted. Our hearts will be convinced that we are loved. Our hearts will be convinced that we have been chosen. Amen. And I want to say in that in God, we are not an afterthought. We are not an afterthought. Your earthly parents may have been surprised, right? Some parents say, she was a surprise. We didn't know she was coming. We didn't expect her. But she was not a surprise to God. She was not a surprise to God. Your parents may not have wanted you. They may whatever. But in the mind of God, he chose you. He said, I want her. I want him. And I think that is that makes us feel very vulnerable to think that the creator of everything stood there from the very beginning with me on his mind. That makes me smile. That as he was standing out in the void, Mother Pat, when it was dark and it was chaotic and the spirit was hovering over the face of the deep, he was standing there with me on his mind. In me, Regina, on his mind. We are not an afterthought. We're not an afterthought. I read this this book. It's by Max Lucado, and it's his life lessons from the book of Ephesians. But he says something, excuse me. I want to read it to you. It's so wonderful. He says, and you thought God adopted you because you were good looking. You thought he needed your money or your wisdom. Sorry, God adopted you simply because he wanted to. You were in his goodwill and pleasure, knowing full well the trouble you would be and the price he would pay. He signed his name next to yours and changed your name to his and took you home. Your Abba adopted you and became your father. He says, may I pause here for a moment? Most of you are with me, but a couple of you are shaking your heads. I see those eyes squinting. You don't believe me, do you? You're waiting for the fine print. There's got to be a gimmick. You know life has no free lunch, so you're waiting for the check. Your discomfort is obvious. Even here in God's living room, you never unwind. Others put on slippers, you put on a front. Others relax, you stiffen. Always on your best behavior, ever anxious that you'll slip up and God will notice and out you go. I understand your anxiety. Your experience with people has taught us that what is promised and what is presented aren't always the same. And for some, the thought of trusting a heavenly father is doubly difficult because your earthly father disappointed or mistreated you. If such is the case, I urge you, don't confuse your heavenly father with the fathers you've seen on earth. Your heavenly father in heaven isn't prone to headaches and temper tantrums. He doesn't hold you one day and hit you the next. The man who fathered you may play such games, but the God who loves you never will. Isn't that a blessing?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that a blessing? My God. I think that is for those, especially for those of us who really didn't have great earthly dads. Amen. Amen. We can't project onto God thinking that he will treat us the way earthly people do. Oh, my God, I just love that. I love that. So our Heavenly Father wanted you. He wanted you. You're not an afterthought. And from this day forward, I hope you never, ever doubt that. You are important to him. You are important to him. He chose you from the beginning. What does that mean? Before you were even here, before you had a chance to get in with the wrong crowd, before you made the mistake. Amen. Before. He knew what you were going to do. He knew the trouble you were going to get into. He still said, I choose you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to go back to verse 13 and 14. I'm skipping 10 because that is a fully loaded verse, and I believe that God's going to say some stuff to me probably privately about that verse. I'm not trying to bring that verse out. Amen. So I'm going to skip ahead to verse 13. Amen. That's a loaded verse. So verse 13, it says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now, I'm very excited about these verses, guys, after I did a little research about what the earnest meant. Jesus. The Amplified says in these verses, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, and as a result believed in him, were stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, the one promised by Christ, as owned and protected by God. The Spirit is the guarantee, the first installment, the pledge, a foretaste of our inheritance unto the redemption of God's own purchased possession, his believers, to the praise of his glory. Okay, y'all still acting calm, so let me read another version. The Living says, and because of what Christ did, all you others too who heard the good news about how to be saved and trusted Christ were marked as belonging to Christ by the Holy Spirit, who long ago had been promised to all of us Christians. His presence within us is God's guarantee that he really will give us all that he promised. And the Spirit's seal upon us means that God has already purchased us and that he guarantees to bring us to himself. Oh my God. This is just one more reason for us to praise our glorious God. Did y'all hear that? The presence of the Holy Spirit within us is the guarantee that God will really give us all he promised. Are y'all awake on this Wednesday night? The Holy Spirit is the guarantee. Oh my God, that God is going to do what he promised. Now, I mentioned buying a home a few minutes ago. In the original King James, and I read that first, it said that the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. Bishop, when I looked around to find out what that may have meant, OMG, I looked up and I heard this phrase, earnest money. Now, y'all, those of you who have purchased homes, you probably already know where I'm going. In real estate, earnest money or an earnest payment is a specific form of security deposit made in some major transactions such as real estate dealings or required by some official procurement process to demonstrate that the applicant is serious and willing to demonstrate an earnest of good faith about wanting to complete the transaction. Again, the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. So if Holy Spirit is a type of earnest or down payment or security deposit to prove how serious God is about us, is anybody else hearing what I'm hearing in my spirit? Oh my God, let's think about this. So the Holy Spirit is a security deposit. A security deposit. What is a security deposit? That's just part of. It's partial payment. If the Holy Ghost, oh my God, is just a partial payment, what else do we have to look forward to? Oh my God. It's Wednesday, but we can still be excited. Oh my God. A security deposit is not the full payment. The Holy Ghost, the one who disperses the gifts, the one, oh my God, the only one who knows the mind of God. He's just the down payment. And he's on the inside of us.
Hallelujah.
This is God's show that he's serious about us.
That's right.
He stood out there and said, I want you. Now I'm going to give you something to show you that I'm serious about you. OMG. OMG. Yes. Yes.
And
yes.
So he sent that to us for that enforcement, for that connection that we have between God and him. It's just like he wanted to make sure we were prepared.
Amen.
For everything we needed.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yes. When Jesus said, behold, I'm going to back to my Father, but I'm going to send another comforter. He said, another comforter, so that you're not going to be alone. I'm not leaving you alone in this. Praise God. Praise God. My goodness. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Ma'am?
I just said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, yes. Yes, yes, yes. The down payment, that just blows my mind. To think that God has thought of everything down to the T, to the T. He is so methodical. He is so methodical. He is so intentional. It just blows my mind that the Holy Spirit can represent the down payment of the inheritance that he wants to bestow upon us. And this... So this means we don't even have the full payment yet. We don't even know yet what all we have access to, because it's just the earnest. It's just the down payment. It's just the security deposit. My God. My God. Okay. Okay. All right.
No.
Yes. 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 And see, that's exactly what I'm hoping to drive home, Deacon Carey, that whenever those doubts come that we're not going to make it, the Holy Spirit in you is the guarantee that he's going to give you every promise that he made, every single thing that he said he was going to do for you. Your promise is on the inside of you. You
Amen.
Look to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And Holy Spirit was, hey, I'm here. We going to do this. Right? That the promise that God gave to Bishop about this building being paid off. The Holy Ghost is evidence that that promise is coming to pass. That promise that your children are going to be saved. The Holy Ghost on the inside of you is the guarantee, hallelujah, of that promise coming to pass.
Amen.
When God has said, when God said, just like Dick and Carrie said, they were wandering in the wilderness. It wasn't, they weren't wandering because God wanted them to wander. They was wandering because they couldn't seem to get themselves together. So even in the new, as if we're wandering, it's not because God wants us to wander. We just gotta possess the possession, take hold of this thing by faith. Glory to God. Saturday, all day Saturday, I was hearing in my spirit, expel the limiting beliefs. Expel anything that is limiting you in your mind. What does expel mean? When you were in school and you got expelled, you got kicked out. Put out those thoughts. Put out, hallelujah, those beliefs that keep us tied down in a low-level thinking and low-level living. Kick it out. Cast it out. Because the Holy Ghost on the inside of us, praise God, is proof evidence that God is going to do what he promised us to do. I don't know. I'm excited. I'm thanking God for it. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. Bishop, did I hear you? Did you want to say something? Okay. Okay. All right. So here in this first chapter of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is talking to us about God's plan of salvation. And I just wanted to go through here really quickly as we're closing to talk about what the role each member here of the Godhead is playing in the role of salvation. Because I believe the Apostle Paul outlines it really beautifully for us. He tells us that, or I'm going to ask you guys, as we've read the first few verses here of Ephesians chapter 1, what role does the Father play? What role does the Father God play in the plan of salvation? From those verses that we see there in verses 2 to 14, what role does God the Father play in the plan of salvation? He chose us, absolutely.
Before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you said, like that $1 million check. I'm kind of getting off, but I don't want you to hear it, but that $1 million check that we ain't cash.
Mm-hmm.
But Christ cashed it because he took captivity captive.
Mm-hmm.
Even the ones that were like, couldn't really believe him. But once they heard it, then the Holy Spirit witnessed to it.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit, and they knew the truth.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the Father chose us. Does it say anything else about what the Father did? First of all, salvation was his idea. We can say that from reading here in Ephesians chapter 1. Salvation was God's idea. He chose us, adopted us, and accepted us, right? And he is the author of that plan of redemption. It was God's idea. So we, you know, for the sake of just talking about it, the Son's role in the plan of salvation, that should be an easy one. The Son. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? Yes.
He also made it possible for us to have access.
Yes. Jesus made it possible to have access. How did he make it possible for us to have access? He went to the cross.
We're on the other side of the cross.
Yes. Yes. Praise God. So Jesus' role, he was his blood that was shed. He was the one, like Nick said, had to go to the cross. He's the one who was up there that shed his blood. Praise God. His sacrifice was required for the plan to work. Amen. Amen. It no longer was a little lamb or some turtle doves going to do. Oh, my clock telling me his time is up. And so then we just covered pretty extensively the Holy Spirit's role in the plan. He's the guarantee. He is the down payment and of the promise that the Father will receive everything that he's promised. The Holy Spirit in us is okay, I marked you, I sealed you, you are mine, I'm coming back for you. That's the Holy Spirit's role, praise God, in the plan of salvation. Now, I don't want to just not say anything about verses 15 through 23, but let me see. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He said in verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, and not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I'm very excited because in verse 18 it says Paul was praying that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would understand, praise God, you know, what this hope is, what this thing is that's on the inside of us, praise God. This was Paul's prayer on behalf of the saints, that we would understand the riches of God's inheritance in us. And I'm excited because he goes right into explaining to us that in Christ, right, that God had elevated Christ to the point that he was over every principality and every power, anything in the heavenly places. Praise God. So if we're in Christ, where are we? We too are above all principality and power. We are right there with Jesus. We're right there with Jesus. Now, physically, we're right here, right? But in spiritual places, we are right there with Jesus. So our view is going to be different. It should be different than what the world sees, because we're supposed to be right there with Jesus, seeing as he sees. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying. I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding will be illuminated, that you would see, hallelujah, the riches of this inheritance that you have access to. Praise God. Does anybody get anything out of this on tonight? Praise God.
Very rich, very rich.
Praise God. Praise God. I know it's a lot. I know it's a lot. But I think that is the time that we are living in. We have to know this stuff, guys. We have to know it. Not only head knowledge, but it has to be in our hearts. Oh, Lord, because I know that things, you know, Bishop told us on Sunday, it's not going to, this thing that we're experiencing now, this is not going to be the last thing that we face. He told us on Sunday. He told us on Sunday. So we have to know these things. We have to know who we are. We have to know who is in us fighting on our behalf. Praise God. Praise God. So for the sake of the tape, as you can see, probably I'm trying to shorten it because we have to email the tape to Brother Mark, and you can only email a certain size document or certain size audio. So That's why I'm trying to rush these days, trying to get to the end. But does anybody have any questions about what we talked about on tonight before we get ready to go? I know it was a lot.
Most interesting.
Most interesting, yes, Lady Bobby, for sure. For sure. Mm-hmm.
And good relationship and made me feel like I belong.
Yeah.
It just did so much for me. I really can't explain.
Yeah.
But it's one of my favorites.
Amen. It's definitely good news. Absolutely. Yes. Ma'am?
Very valuable.
Yes, very valuable. Very valuable. Very valuable. And like I said, I know that it's a lot, and I know that it's heavy, but I just believe that the Lord is bringing this forth at this time for what's coming later, right? He prepares us. He gives us heads up so that we can prepare our hearts. So praise God. He wants us to know, number one, He chose us. We are not a mistake. We are not an afterthought. He knew. That little girl in Kansas City sitting on the side of her bed reading out her Precious Moment Bible. He said, I want her. I want that kid from St. Louis getting into trouble. I want him. Praise God. I want him. Praise God. So we just thank and praise God for each and every one of you. I want you this week to ponder these things in your heart, okay? I want you to make them personal to you. God wanted me. God chose me. He knew me from the beginning. And Holy Spirit is the earnest payment God paid to prove He was serious about me and the guarantee that He will give me everything He promised. I want you to ponder on that this week. Let it become real to you. Amen. Amen. God, we thank you and praise you. Oh, yes, Deacon. Yes, that's all right. I know you're excited about Ephesians. Bishop, were you going to say something?
I was just thinking, the book of Ephesians, it's the revelation of who God is and who we are, our relationship to Him. The early church had the same problem that we have sometimes, racial differences, whatever. But it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. God is opening up Himself, not just to, Jews. But this is what the problem was, because a lot of them felt like, Gentiles are dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They're not accepted.
Yes.
But
that's good, Bishop.
Paul says here, we are accepted in Him through His blood. So whether we are, Peter says it again, we are a royal priesthood. Now you may have been born to a prostitute. Don't make any difference where you came from. When you were born in Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Everything He has belongs to you.
Yes.
And it's, and we're so human that we think that, if we don't deserve it, if we didn't earn it, we shouldn't have it. But salvation is a gift of God.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with you.
Yes, sir.
All you have to do is take it, accept it. Lord showed me the other day, people, the Holy Spirit. He is the person who gives us the divine revelation of who God is and who you are to Him.
Yes.
And But he's the one that would do it if we would let him. Mm-hmm. But we say sometimes, well, I don't have the Holy Spirit. So, but let's be, it's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord said, if I had a $100 bill here, and I said, you can have it. Now, what do you got to do? You got to come get it.
Come.
And take it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he requires for you to do.
Yes.
And that the power of that $100 will get you everything that you want to buy.
Praise
but if you just stand there looking at it, well, I don't deserve it. It has to do with the mercy. God is rich in mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I did too many bad things. I've got nothing to do with what you did. It's what he did.
Thank you, Lord.
You. So come on, give God a chance to do what he wants to do with you without you interfering with him by who you think you are or you're not deserving. I just don't think, you know, I just couldn't accept that, you know. That's sad.
Yes, Bishop.
But a lot of Christians feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know, I just don't deserve it. Well, it has nothing to do with your deserving.
Mm.
It has to do with God's rich. He said, we are seated, not going to be, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly.
Yes, 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 yes. Come on, Bishop.
I couldn't earn that.
Mm-mm.
I haven't been here long enough. I haven't done enough.
Mm.
Never will. So it's not depending on me. It's depending if God says, I want to take you out of the misery, as Mark was saying something about the monk and the mire. He just want to pick you up, give you a good shower, do some good smelling stuff on. Say, now go on. Oh, hey, you belong to me.
Mm-hmm.
You're not like you used to be because I have covered you.
Yes, 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 yes.
The judge says, not guilty. And you can say, well, yeah, I think I'll at least serve 10 years anyway for the bad stuff. Forget that.
Amen.
Let God be merciful.
Thank
to you,
Jesus.
Let him do what he does best.
Yes, yes.
Not condemn you, but to commend you through the blood of his Son.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Woo!
Yes. Around you, and
yes.
You know you are a child of his.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Doubted it. Accepted.
Praise God.
I'm broke, busted, and he's giving it to him. Come on, take it. I don't feel right.
Yeah, amen, Bishop. Amen. It really is a trick of the enemy to, you know, it really, truly is. But like Bishop said, if we could just take it. All you have to do is take it. Praise God, praise God.
I believe that God has met all my needs, past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I need, he knows it. The Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father, they're praying for me. Mm. I can't miss nothing he has for me.
Thank you, Lord.
I may fall down 10 times in one day. But I still qualify for his mercy because of who he is, not me.
Amen.
Well, I'm done.
That's all right, Bishop. Because he used a word a moment ago. He said, I don't deserve it. Well, truthfully, none of us deserve it. Let's just get that out. Just let's put that out there. No, you're right. None of us deserve it. But because he chose to do it for us, it has nothing to do with us. Praise God. Praise God. Just like, you know, you parents, you get your kids Christmas gifts, you get them birthday gifts, not because they've been really good all year, not because they, you know, they made the perfect grades. You decided, I don't know. Did y'all? You decided, yeah, I'm going to do this for them. I'm going to do this for them. Praise God. Not because they necessarily deserved it or act right or did all their chores. Amen. Praise God. So, Father God, we thank you and praise you for another time, God, that we have been here sitting at your feet, Lord God. We thank you, God. You meet us every single time, God, and I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Father, I just pray that these things that have been said and shared, hallelujah, from me and from those out here in the audience, oh God, that they would stick with our hearts, God, that we would take them out of here, God, that we not easily forget them, God, but that we would plant them and bury them in our hearts and in our spirits, oh God, so that you can bring them back up, hallelujah, and so that we can continue to eat on them and feast on them, oh God, till we get every single thing out of it, God, that you desire for us to know. We thank you for it now. We pray, God, that you would just go with us as we come out of this place, God. I pray a blessing over every household represented. Thank you for keeping us safe. Hallelujah. Thank you for protection, Lord God. Thank you for healing. Hallelujah. Whatever it is that we have need of, God, we thank you for it already, that you've already provided. Hallelujah. As we learned on tonight, just the Holy Spirit in us is the promise and the show that you're going to do it. So we thank, oh my God, I love that. Thank you so much for it, oh God. And we pray, God, that you will be with us as you always are until we come again together. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.